Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Los Angeles, California. You know, it's been a little while since we played Super Bowls here. This guy, it's been a year since he's been on. We have not talked a whole lot about offense and structure and defense and Aaron Donald and disruption. Greg Cosell here of NFL Films and NFL Matchup at this point. How are you? I miss you so much at the vault at NFL Films. It's been 20 years. I saw Baldinger here earlier. You know, nothing like old friends, right?
It's been a while. I mean, obviously, last year's Super Bowl, I was not in attendance. I don't know if you were in attendance last year.
No, I didn't go.
No, so last year I did not go. It was the first one I'd missed in a long time. So it's good to be back this year. Trying to reintegrate into the world, you know?
I felt the same way. A month ago,
I'm not exactly sure how to do that.
Well, a month ago, I wasn't coming.
Right.
And then I decided a couple weeks ago, like, all right, you know, I mean, the rooms were cheaper, honestly. And I'm like, okay, maybe there'll be some people here. We're in the middle of the week right now, and there'll be more guests. It's sort of normal. Like, I'm going to tell Luke, like, dude, you missed out.
I know. I kind of like the fact, though, that it's spread out.
I like that we have space.
Yeah, that we're not on top of one another. Remember the year in the
New
mall
York.
In Minneapolis?
Well, New York, too.
I was, you know what? I didn't go to New York.
That was in a Sheraton ballroom.
I did not go to New York because, you know, NFL Films is only 90 miles away, so I did not go to New York.
Why? You just didn't want to?
Yeah. I don't really... Those kinds of crowds don't really work for me.
You're curmudgeonly. Are you getting curmudgeonly?
Maybe,
in your old
you know.
Age?
I don't know. Maybe.
All right, well, from a football standpoint, I want to talk about the Ravens first because that's what I do, and things that are going right and things that are going wrong. Give me an assessment of where you are in Lamar Jackson right now, and it's very difficult to do when he didn't play the last 6 weeks of the season.
No.
But what you saw from him without a great running game, without an offensive line, and really, quite frankly, not playing in second and two and second and three where they ate for a couple of years.
No, and, you know, I mean, I think at this point in Lamar's career, I don't think there's a whole lot of mystery as to what Lamar Jackson is. I mean, I think that the offense is still relatively geared around the fact that he challenges and stresses defenses as a runner, and defenses have to account for that because the last thing they want to have happen is for Lamar to get outside, to get on the perimeter and with space. So that element of Lamar Jackson's game really causes defenses to have to play a particular way. It opens up certain things in the pass game. I still think the pass game needs to be more expansive, and that's not a coaching point. I'm not saying more expansive with their concepts. Every offensive coordinator has a playbook with the same concepts. So it's not that they don't have those plays. I think ultimately the pass game needs to be more explosive. And we'll see if we get there. You know, he did not play the last 6 weeks, as you said. You know, in their mind, they have receivers now because they have Brown, who was a first-round pick. They have Bateman, who was a first-round pick.
Andrews.
They have Andrews, who's a very good tight end, a really good receiving tight end, you know, probably among the top five in the league, clearly, at this point in his career. So they have receivers. So to me, the pass game needs to become more of a true week-to-week factor. It can be a big factor some weeks, but it's not a big enough factor on a consistent basis.
Well, you need somebody running the ball more effectively than he can do it. And Billick, that's Freudian.
Wow.
Harbaugh bristled at me when I said him running the ball 21 times into the Minnesota Vikings is probably a bad idea, you know, for any quarterback. And I think the big picture of this is, when you draft a guy that's going to run the ball 150, 200 times a year into linebackers who, you know, Lamar's not a big guy. You know what I mean?
No.
It wouldn't even matter. Cam Newton was a big guy. It doesn't matter. There's a point with the availability later in the year and the stress that takes on a team where he gets himself hurt and then it's all over with for you. It feels like a tightrope act with him. It really does. And I don't know that it's never not going to feel like a tightrope act except when he only runs the ball 6 or 8 times a game.
Well, clearly, the offense is built to feature him as a runner. So now all you're talking about is what a given game presents. So in my mind, there's no game in which they see him running the ball 5 times. They want him to run the ball by design more than that. The question is, is that the best way to play offense? And eventually, your point is correct. He missed the last six games. Is that an aberration, or is that now a trend where the injuries that seem minor at the time, because when it first happened, I don't think there was a sense, maybe you know more than I,
that his season was over. Not at all. Not at all.
So, you know, that's the one thing you have to think about. There's a balancing act there. There's a pro and a con. Yes, he stresses defenses. Yes, he forces them to play a certain way, which theoretically should help your passing game. But there seems to be, and I don't have an answer for this, there seems to be a little bit of a disconnect. Makes it sound like it's a coaching thing, and that I don't know because I don't know how it's coached. But it seems to me the passing game should be more given what they do with the run game. Conceptually is what I'm talking about.
Well, they're playing with so many backups. I mean, they had no intention of not playing with Ronnie Stanley.
Right.
Nick Boyle. The running backs are all out. Greg Cosell is here from NFL Matchup talking all things. So step into, in your mind, the old guy philosophy, which isn't hard for you to do at this point, but taking on a quarterback that runs, how do you feel about that and what it does for an offense? I mean, obviously, the Ravens have fed off of it at various points, Kansas City, Houston, different teams with quarterbacks that want to run. In your mind, if they make you the general manager like Mike Mayock out in Oakland, do you want a quarterback running, really? I mean, is that a desired thing, or is that, I don't want to call it a gimmick, is that a get-rich-quick scheme? To me, it feels more like that. It feels like it's not. And I use the word sustainable.
Are you talking about...
For a franchise.
Are you talking about... You're talking about designed running, where the quarterback is a significant foundation of the run game by design. You're not talking about scrambling.
And I don't know how you don't make that, to your point, once it is what it is, you don't make it a decoy, right? I mean, you have to use it. Lamar has to run the ball. If you have a running quarterback, he has to run. Even if he throws the ball well, he has
right.
to run.
You know, my guess is most would say that that's not a sustainable form of offense and that it's very difficult to have the passing game that I think you ultimately want to have with that focus on the run game and the quarterback as a major feature of the run game. Look, it's always easy to point to individual games, but the fact is, not this year, obviously, because he did not play, but in the previous 2 years, they went out in the playoffs scoring 3 points, and they went out in the playoffs scoring, I believe, 12 points. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I know they put up a ton of yards against Tennessee in the game they scored 12 points, but they scored 12 points. So the question becomes, and even, by the way, when they beat Tennessee the next year in the playoffs to advance to play Buffalo and lose, they only scored 20, and obviously one of those touchdowns came on a Lamar 3rd-and-9 scramble for 49 or 50 yards. I'm sure you remember the play.
I do.
So, you know, the question is a very good one. Is that offense sustainable? Maybe I'm old school. You know, maybe I'm just old.
Well, that's
but
what I was getting at.
I think it's not truly sustainable. I think a team like the Philadelphia Eagles now has to make the same decision with Jalen Hurts. Is that kind of offense sustainable as an NFL offense to produce the results you ultimately want it to produce?
Well, the result we want is this right here. The fat head on the wall with your quarterback on it, right? Burrow and Stafford.
Stafford, right.
I mean... They do it the way all the old guys have always done it.
Now, Burrow does have movement ability. Burrow has a trait that I find to be just in my study for years. I've been studying NFL coaching tape since 1992. I think Burrow has a trait that I view as far more important than running out of the pocket, and that's his ability to navigate within the pocket, manage the pocket, move within the pocket to find a more quiet place to deliver the football comfortably.
Bounce and dance.
Yes. You know, I always use the analogy of an area that's about the size of a boxing ring, maybe even a little smaller, but the ability to really navigate and control and manage that area
Elway.
Then throw the ball. Well, Brady was a master at it. If you're talking about older quarterbacks, Dan Marino was a true master of it. You don't need to be mobile in the way we think of mobile
Step
in order
up,
to do that.
Step up, find your space.
Right, find your space.
Right.
I find, to me, that trait over the course of a now 17-game season is a far more important trait than the ability to run. But then on the other hand, you'll talk to defensive coordinators, and this is why there may not be an exact answer to the question. I've spoken to defensive coordinators who said, hey, when you play a Lamar Jackson, when you play, you know, a Russell Wilson, there's two parts to every play. There's the 2 seconds of the structure, and then there's the 2 to 3 seconds afterwards when there's no structure, and those are the hard parts to defend. So,
well, that was Roethlisberger's story at the beginning of his career,
there's
right?
There's two sides to this, and you know, here's what the question becomes. What's the balance between the outside of structure improvisational plays that Lamar Jackson makes versus the plays that he leaves on the field within structure for whatever reason, not seeing it, not throwing it? You know, what's that balance? When they go through, when Greg Roman and James Urban go through Lamar's plays every year, and believe me, coaches will... James Urban will probably look at every one of Lamar's plays 3 times when the season ends. You know, where does he draw that line? How does he chart that? What's the balance between, hey, that's a great improvisational play that...
But we had something else over here.
But versus, hey, you got sacked on this play because there was a throw to be made and you didn't make it. You know, that's... I can't do what they do. I don't have that kind of time.
Right.
I don't work for the Ravens.
Right.
But, I mean, that's what
that's
you have
what
to...
That's what they're doing.
That's what you should be doing.
Greg Cosell is here. He is NFL matchup. You know the dulcet tones. You can follow his work. And actually, for this game, you know, this is for all the marbles, as they say. You have to love what Burrow does, and there's that intangible it factor that he seems to have.
Know. And I'm not knocking you. I don't know what that means, but, yeah, I mean, I guess...
Okay, but there's an energy around him. And with Stafford, there's been a different kind of energy in Detroit, but you've watched his work. Was it about him not having talent around him in Detroit?
So let me ask you this. So I guess my question would be this. So does Matthew Stafford now have energy and he didn't have energy in Detroit? Did he leave it at home in Detroit, but now he has it?
I think when you're down 3 touchdowns and you can navigate your way back, I think there's something about winning. There's something about not quitting. There's something.
So did Joe Burrow not have it last year as a rookie when they were losing?
Well, he didn't play. He was hurt.
Yeah, but he played a number of games.
He probably's always had it. He had it at LSU. We're doing sports radio now.
Right.
We're talking about it.
Right. I don't know what it means.
I sound like a Philadelphia guy.
I don't know what it means, but that's okay.
It sounds like I'm qualified to be on the air in Philly now. But with Stafford, whatever, he didn't have it. He had 12 years of tape, right? I mean, you watched him.
Which was pretty damn good, by the way.
Okay, so you were always a believer.
Oh, Matthew Stafford's one of the most talented quarterbacks in the NFL as far as just throwing the football. He's always been that way. You know, it's funny. In the last 3 years, we've watched Patrick Mahomes with all these trick shot throws. Matthew Stafford has been doing that for 10 years. But because he played in Detroit, no one said anything about it.
So this was an eventuality, as you saw it when he came to the Rams, that they would be markedly better than Jared Goff. Same things McVay saw.
He's a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Yes, clearly.
And you knew that all along, but hiding in plain sight in Detroit.
Yes.
That's why you're you.
Yeah, I mean, look, a couple things to know. Stafford is a very aggressive thrower of the football. Most offensive coaches like that. McVay likes that. When you're a very aggressive thrower of the football, there's going to be 3 or 4 throws in every game that are ill-advised because you believe you can make a throw that maybe is not there. So, you know, people like to point out Stafford's a couple of his interceptions this year and obviously the dropped one in the NFC Championship game, which perhaps if Jaquiski Tartt makes that catch, they might not win the game. And that's easy to point out, but they don't point out his great throws. And there's a lot more of those than bad throws. Stafford's always been a great thrower of the football. That's never been in question.
McVay and what he does offensively here, what he was trying to do with Goff versus what he can do now. Do you see more sophistication here 2 years removed from the other Super Bowl?
Well, I think what you see is more vertical-type throws because Stafford's more capable of those. And I think McVay wanted... I think McVay felt that the vertical element to their passing game had been reduced a little bit because Goff can't really make those throws the same way Stafford can. Goff's vertical throws have to come purely through timing. Because don't forget, a post, a fade... Those would be considered vertical throws, but those throws are not arm strength throws. Stafford gives you a wider array of vertical throws because of the arm strength element.
This team's added players, right? I mean, Odell Beckham Jr., I don't know what you thought of him in Cleveland, certainly in New York a couple of years ago.
Well, he's become a really important player for them.
Well, yeah, he'll be the reason they win the game.
He had 11 targets in the NFC Championship game and 9 catches for over 100 yards.
And he's been there a month and a half.
Yeah, he's a really important player.
Have you always seen that in him? I mean,
when his first couple of years in with the Giants, he was phenomenal. You know, then his career kind of detoured a little. Who knows why? I mean, I didn't study just him, but obviously I've seen him closely in L.A. with the Rams, and they made a major adjustment when he got there, because before he got there and before Woods got hurt, Van Jefferson was their X receiver, meaning their single receiver to the boundary, the short side of the field. And Woods was their Z, their movement receiver. Everybody can probably picture Woods being in motion a lot. So when they got Beckham and then Woods went down, they made a difficult change in the middle of the season. And it might not seem difficult to people listening, but it's difficult. Beckham is an X, so they made him the X. That meant Jefferson had to move to Z, to Woods' spot, and he had to learn that position. Because keep in mind, when you line up in 3-by-1 sets, the boundary receiver is the only wide receiver to that side. He runs individual isolation routes. The Z receiver now runs routes in combination with two other receivers. That's a big difference. You have to learn
it's
all that.
It's dancing alone and dancing with a ballet.
Correct. Right. So Jefferson had to kind of learn that in the middle of the season, and that takes time a little bit. You know, so
didn't affect Cooper Kupp.
No, but his position did not change. He's predominantly their slot.
But I think when you get another weapon like Odell Beckham Jr. and it actually works, I mean, I think there was a little bit of controversy about that. Like, is that really going to help them? The Woods injury was massive. The fact that they're still sitting here really speaks to what Odell Beckham Jr. has brought to them over the last 2 months, right?
And he's played really well over the last number of weeks. I mean, he's a tough cover one-on-one when he's the boundary X. He's a tough cover. He can get open. And, you know, and I think one of the things that Stafford brings to the table is when you line up in 3-by-1 sets and the primary read is to the trip side, and if you don't like what you get with trips, Stafford can then work back to the single receiver. Very often you tag a trips primary read with a dig route from the backside. That's an advanced throw. And Stafford can make those throws. He can make them better than Goff can make them.
It's also a point where you've been doing this for 15 years. I guess we see that with Brady or Roethlisberger, or any of the guys that make it into their 30s, that make it, that
right,
survive this as the number one overall pick in Detroit for a decade, right? When you get there, then there becomes all this wisdom you bring. I had Justin Forsett here earlier today. He was so much a better back 7-8 years into his career.
Without question.
Just seeing things. Just seeing the game differently. That's
seeing
probably
what it makes better.
Well, having seen so much.
Yeah,
of it,
yeah.
It's an experience issue, right? Like, more than anything else. A lot of things he probably wanted to do in Detroit and just couldn't, especially after Calvin Johnson.
And most quarterbacks, most really good quarterbacks at this level, they win before the ball snapped. They know what they're getting. When they take the snap, they're simply confirming and validating. They're not necessarily reading for the first time. And that's one reason I think in the Super Bowl, there's two things I think you're going to see from the Rams. I think you're going to see selective no-huddle tempo, because we know what tempo does at no-huddle. It forces the defense to regulate. They can't communicate as much. They can't do as many things. So the defense has to get set. The other thing I think you'll see is empty sets. The Rams ran more empty sets this year by far than any team in the NFL. The Bengals, by the way, were second. But the Rams, by far, ran more empty sets because, again, that spreads out the defense. They have to declare. If they want to blitz, you kind of know who's coming. And Stafford likes that. He gets a clear picture. He can win before the ball snapped. He knows where he's going.
Greg Cosell is here. He knows where he's going. He's going to NFL Films and Super Bowl 56. We're here in Los Angeles. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are letting ourselves play. And, you know, you get a winner? Do you like to pick these things here?
I'm going to have to.
What can help the Cincinnati?
I'm going to have to pick a winner in my matchup show, so I know who I'm going to do. Okay. Now, we're not shooting that till Saturday, so, you know, I'm not on record.
Come back soon.
I'm not on record.
What can help
yet.
The Bengals win this game?
Well, you know, this isn't profound, but I think that, you know, the Bengals O-line is, you just wonder how long a below average NFL offensive line can hold up without biting them. And they're playing against a really good D-line in this game. And I think the Bengals have to try to run the ball. They have to make the Rams' defense play the run. Burrow can't drop back 45 times by choice unless the game demands it, because their O-line can't protect. Because you can't live on quick game throws. You can't live on five-yard throws. So then, you know, there are certain things you can do to try to compensate for and camouflage O-line deficiencies. One of them is running. One of them is play action off certain kinds of runs, let's say outside zone, because what outside zone run action does is it gets the defensive line's initial reaction to be lateral as opposed to vertical rushing the quarterback. You can do
split
that.
Split second trickery.
Yeah, it's not trickery, but yes, you're getting them to react a certain way. You can go with 12 personnel, two tight ends, and go max protection. They did that on the first play of the third quarter against the Chiefs, where they hit T. Higgins for 44 yards. They lined up with two tight ends. They went max pro. They had three double teams, including two inside. So there's multiple ways in which you can try to compensate for it, but you will get into third and long, and then what happens on those third and long plays? Those could be critical.
Well, they have playmakers to make those plays.
They certainly do. But you have to. You don't have a pass game if you can't protect.
Greg, I miss you. And I appreciate you coming and giving me a hard time. Whatever it is, you have it, babe.
Oh, yeah, I have it?
You have it. He has it.
There you go.
20 years he's been giving me a hard time. I invite him back, and he keeps coming back for more. Greg Cosell, find him out. You're in the Twitter world, right?
I am in the Twitter world, at Greg Cosell.
Absolutely. I watch what Baldy does with his breakdowns, and, you know, I mean, we taught him all well up there. Steve Sables, his presence is here today.
It probably is. You know, I think it's been 8 or 9 years, believe it or not, since he's passed. It's been a long time.
I found the tape. Things were slow here earlier in the week, and I was running a couple segments just because we didn't have a lot going on. And I ran two pieces with Steve and I at Super Bowls. He sat with me in Dallas, and it was sort of a sleepy Friday. It was icy. He was bored, and he sat down and did like 40 minutes talking about movies with me and whatnot. So I ran that this week to honor Steve.
Steve loved movies. There was no question about that. In fact, he would go to a movie or two whenever he was at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he'd spend the day Saturday in the theater.
That was his routine. Yeah, that was his routine, yep.
People, little known thoughts here, you know, old friends. Greg Cosell from NFL Films and NFL Matchup. Now with Matt Bowen, right? And Sal
Matt
Powell.
Bowen, Sal Powell, yeah.
All right, breaking it down. Real football. Not the it factor that some other places have. We appreciate him. I'm Nestor. We are WNST and 1570. Stay with us. We're in Los Angeles doing Super Bowl 56 coverage and trying to have a little bit of fun with old friends.